read with me, if you would, 2 Samuel 19, verse 31, and put the stop off in verse 30. And Barzillai, again, I'm not saying it right, but nonetheless, Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over the Jordan River. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 or 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay, and that's why David was camped at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man, wealthy, respected, had some clout among the people. Verse 33, and the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear anymore the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, or in other words, here is thy servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and returned into his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Tonight I want to give thought to the king rewards faithfulness. The king rewards faithfulness. Now it has been a few weeks since we were introduced to this man named Barzillai. And so just very quick, it won't take but just a minute or so, I want you to turn back in your Bibles just a couple of chapters so we can refresh ourselves with who this man is, what he has done, and why David is taking notice of it. So go back to chapter 17, near the end of that chapter. We ran into these three characters who were instrumental in helping David in an hour of need. So don't forget, this is the narrative. Absalom has rebelled. David has fled the capital. He is making his way across the Jordan, 50 or 60 miles north. He'll end up camping there in Mahanaim. And while he is there, they had to leave very hurriedly. And so while he is there, God provided these men who were willing to really stick their neck out in order to help David and supply his needs. So 2 Samuel 17, verse 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machor, the son of Ammiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, notice what they did, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So there are three men mentioned there. Only one of them comes back up into our narrative, and it is the one at the close of verse 47, Barzillai the Gileadite. And so he was don't forget this, and sometimes, you know, we look on one side of it, you got to get back in it. At the time, no one knew whether or not the armies of David would defeat the armies of Absalom. So when these men, Barzillai in particular, when they provide food and shelter and, you know, water, all of that, when they provide that to David and his family and his army, that could have cost him everything. He was quite literally risking his life. Now, we look at it and say, you know, nothing to worry about. David's going to win. But they didn't know that. They didn't know that at the time. They didn't know whether or not the vast armies of Israel would defeat David or not. Absalom, had he been victorious over David, would have perceived Barzillai's actions as aiding and abetting the enemy. He would not have liked that at all. No doubt at all, those three men that are mentioned at the close of chapter 17, including Barzillai, who we'll focus around this evening, they probably would have been killed for their public allegiance to King David. Yet, undeterred by how his actions would be perceived, this aged man shows heartfelt loyalty to David. You will think back some of the characters that we mentioned. There was Shimei, we looked at last week, who cursed the king on that night that he left town, threw rocks and dust at the king. There was Ziba, who took advantage of the king. But we're also introduced to Barzillai, who showed costly commitment to the king. He provided food, shelter, supplies, knowing that his actions could have cost him everything. And as we read in the text, at the close of verse number 32 in our text, he was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. He was well-to-do. So that meant he had more to lose. He was putting more on the line by showing public allegiance to King David. Now, as you fast forward, Absalom is defeated. The armies of Absalom have retreated. And now David has been called upon to return to the capital to reassume the throne of Jerusalem. But the king hasn't forgotten about those who stuck with him when things were tough. Verse 31, we read, but Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rosslyn, and he went over Jordan. So for however long that time period was, whether it was days, weeks, a few months, however long that it was, at his own expense, out of his own pocket, risking his own life, sticking his neck out, you know, putting his neck on the line, Barzillai stuck by David. And now when David is returning to the capital, the two of them begin a journey together south out of Mahanaim, really from out of, I think it's Rosh-Shalom, where Barzillai lived. They leave there and make their way south, traveling together. He, though older, as we learned, he is 80 years old, accompanies David some 50 or 60 miles to where the king will cross over the Jordan River. And there, in verse number 33, the king makes a proposal. I've got a few little points, but they're not that much going. But verse 33, the king makes a proposal, and it is, Barzillai, come back to Jerusalem with me. Come back to the capital. I want to reward you for your faithfulness. In an hour of need and desperation, you were there. You provided for my family. You provided for my children. You provided for my troops. You risked your life. You spent a lot of money. I want to reward you for that. Come back to the capital with me. That's his proposal. David's desire is to reward, openly reward Barzillai for his allegiance. even though, and if you think on these things, even though Barzillai was a man of wealth, he didn't have anything in comparison to the king. The king could richly, richly bless this man. So David says, come on back to Jerusalem. I want you to come sit at my table. I want to treat you like you're one of my own. I want to reward you for your faithfulness to me. And if you think about it in the setting, normally when the king asked you to do something, he really wasn't asking. You understand? He's the king. It's sort of like when my dad say, son, can you carry out the trash? He really wasn't asking. In so much greater degree, when a monarch, a king, queen, ruler, says to someone, I'd like you to do this, they're really not asking. But in this case, it really is quite unique that I think David has the wisdom to understand and appreciate Barzillai's reaction. So David makes a proposal, but in verse 34, Barzillai rejects the king's proposal. He rejects it. I'm going to sum this up for you. Barzillai says to David, thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate the offer, but I'm really not interested. And again, as I said, normally you didn't tell the king no, as he's the king. But in this case, David will not force his will upon so faithful a friend. He will not. And then Barzillai, I hope you will appreciate some of this and maybe even go home and just reread some of this and think on it. I will do it justice. But Barzillai speaks some incredibly wise words, words that it would benefit all of us to think on. Here is the reasons that he gives for rejecting the king's proposal. First of all, he makes mention of his own mortality in verse 34. I don't have home to live. Why should I pack up and move? Psalms 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A wise, mature Christian will give thought to their own mortality, especially as we move on up in years. Here's an 80-year-old man, and David says, I want you to leave home and come move to Jerusalem, some 50, 60 miles from his home. And his first words are, I'm not going to live much longer. I have numbered my days, and wisdom says I'd be better off to stay home. Besides, if you think about it, how many of you all here that may be close to 80 would like to pack up and move from your house, go to some place completely new to you, strange to you? You grew up in Rajalam or near Mahanaim, lived all your life there, your family's there, everything's familiar with you there. And now the king says, I want you to go somewhere else. And you're like, I love you, bro, but no. I thank you. I appreciate the offer. Thanks, but no thanks. And Barzillai is, I appreciate it, but at my age, I don't want to relocate. I don't want to leave everything that is home, everything that is comfortable, everything that is familiar. I want to die. When he makes mention of this, I want to die at home. I want to be buried where my family's buried. And that, isn't that very, very akin to how Christians think, especially as we get on up in years? I don't want to back up and move, but I want to start over, and I want to relocate. Home is home. That's where I want to be. When my time comes, I want to be surrounded by my family, and I want to be surrounded by my friends, and I don't want to be in a strange place around a bunch of strangers. I've numbered my days. I've seen I've come face to face with my own mortality, and I know I don't have many more sons on this mortal coil. I'm not going to see many more seasons. And when my time is up, I want to die at home. And that's just exactly what he is making mention of here. And then, in very candid language, Barzillai not only makes mention of his mortality, but of his human frailty. His human frailty. Verse number 35, I'm 80 years old. And it says in our King James, can I discern between good and evil? And I think maybe I can help you with that. And what he's really making mention of is not right and wrong, that which is holy and that which is wicked. That's really not what he's talking about at all. But at my age, I can't even really discern about what is good and pleasant and what is unpleasant. If you'll just keep following his reasoning and what he says, that becomes more apparent. Some of you probably can relate to this. Verse 35, the things that I eat don't taste like they used to. I don't enjoy eating as much as I used to. I can't help it. I just visited with this lady up here at the nursing home, went into her room, and Pat, which Pat, of course, being, you know, in nursing, asking about her diet, asking about her eating, and she just said, I just don't have much of an appetite anymore. That's what Barzillai said. And if you live long enough, you're going to get there too. I got enough appetite for three people right now, but if I live long enough, it won't matter so much to you. It's, forgive me, my parents, who I love so much, their whole life has revolved around food. And now, my dad really doesn't care one way or another what he eats or anything else. It's just, I mean, life's changed that much. If you live long, you're going to face some of that. And then he says, my hearing's gone bad. I like how candid the Bible is here. I like how open it is and how real it is about the effects of living in a sin-cursed body on a sin-cursed world. You realize they didn't have hearing aids back then, right? His eyes weren't so good anymore, and they didn't have glasses. And all we're doing is getting a small portrait of what lies ahead if our lives continue till we get on up in years. And to some degree, here's what Barzillai said. All the things, David, that you can offer me, I really couldn't enjoy. Food, music, dance, romance, none of those things mean a lot to me anymore. And brother and sister, if you live long enough, you're going to face some of that yourself. One reason, and I'm convinced of this, our human frailty, is one reason why the Bible teaches us to serve our Creator in the days of our youth. I might get an amen here, because there's going to come a point when you can't do what you once could. I'm going to hit 50 this year, and I'm telling you, it's going to hit me right here. And I can tell the difference between 50 and 40 and certainly in the years past. If we live, the Lord does not come, we'll be like Barzillai. You won't be able to enjoy what we once could. You won't be able to enjoy the things that you used to. David, to some degree, Barzillai is saying, David, I appreciate you. Thank you. You are too good to me. In fact, I love what he says at the close of verse 36. Why should the king recompense me with such a reward? I don't deserve it. Why would you pour these lavish blessings on me? But David would be wasted on me. He really would. Thanks, but no thanks. And then in his rejection, he says, here's what I will do, verse 36 and the first part of 37. I go part of the way with you, but then I'm going home. I'm going home. I might ride a ferry boat ferry boat across to Jordan, but then I'm going back home. And so in response to this, David makes a proposal. Barzillai rejects it. But then in verse 37, the second part of the verse, Barzillai makes a counter proposal. Verse 37, I want to go back. I want to die in my own city. I want to be buried by my mom, my dad. But the close of this, verse 37, but behold, thy servant Chimham. Let him go. In other words, I don't want to go. I'm not willing to go. It's not going to benefit me, and all the things you want to do is really not going to help me. But take Chimham with you. And all the things that you were going to do for me, do for him. The blessings, rewards that you wanted to give to me, give those to him. And that's what verse 37 and 38 is all about. Here, take this man, Chimham, and reward him. Now, I hope maybe you're sitting there with just a little bit of curiosity and you're thinking, well, who on earth is Chimham? I don't know. That's my kid. Like, I don't know. It's Chimham. That's who it is. I know a little bit, and I want to share that with you. Probably. I'm going to give you one of those, here's what I think, here's what commentators believe. We don't know. Again, it's not for certain. Probably, Chimham is one of Barzillai's sons. One of his sons. I won't be dogmatic. That's almost certainly the case, but probably the case. In fact, it's probably his youngest son. All of this would have fit into the culture. The eldest son, of course, would have been expected to stay home, inherit what the father was given, you know, to the eldest son, that double portion, and to take over things. Again, Barzillai was a man of wealth and prominence. The eldest son would have been expected to stay home and sort of take over the family, you know, take over a farm, if you will. But this youngest son, it would have very, at least one of his sons, if not the youngest son, it would have been very fitting in culture for the honor that was to be given or bestowed upon the father to be given to one of the sons. So Chimham is probably, and I just say probably, a son or at the very least a close relative of Barzillai. I'm going to give you this reference. If you want to run it, you can, but it's Jeremiah 41 and verse 17. And I give you that reference for this reason. David or Solomon or someone names, and I'm going to use some quotes here, a resting place, because that's what the word means. In Jeremiah 41, 17, David, Solomon, somebody named a resting place after Chimham. Jeremiah 41, 17. And by resting place, it means like a residence. We would look at it like an inn, like a, I want to say hotel, but you can't put 21st century spin on it. In fact, it was located near Bethlehem. Are you interested in a little more speculation? Some believe that this place, this resting place, this inn, is actually where Mary gave birth to Jesus because it was near Bethlehem, but that is pure speculation. But it is clear that this was given as a way to honor Barzillai and his family. Naming this residence, this town, or whatever that is, this resting place, naming it after Chimham was a way of honoring Barzillai, of honoring him. And then another reason why is probably his son, at least a close relative, is that as David has died, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7, as David is dying and he's giving instructions to Solomon, who will be king, he says to Solomon, you be good and kind to the sons of Barzillai. David says to Solomon, when I needed help, he was faithful. When your older brother rebelled against me, And I didn't know what was going to happen. Barzillai opened up his home and provided for me and my family. And so it is very possible that there are sons, or even now at this time, grandsons of Barzillai who are living in Jerusalem. If not, it's a reference to being kind to them. But David makes reference or gives instruction to Solomon to be kind. So I get, here's where I'm going. Whoever Chimham is, he receives a blessing, not because of who he is, but because of what his father had done. Chimham, and really descendants after him, were given the benefit of being brought into Israel under God's covenant people, hearing and learning more about the one true God. But that didn't happen because of what Chimham had done. It happened because of the faithfulness of his father. And here's what I want you to get out of this. Generations receive good. Generations will receive blessings because of one's faithfulness. Many generations to come can receive goodness and blessing because of your faithfulness. Barzillai had no idea when David come up into Mahanaim, fleeing for his life. He had no idea when he opened up his storehouses and began to provide for David's family and for David's focus. He had no idea that before it was over, his son, probably grandson, great-grandson, that they would be hearing the message of the one true saving God in Israel because of the actions that he made. What I'm trying to get you to see, friends, is God can use your faithfulness to bless the generations that are to come. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I'm not saying and I'm not suggesting that all of your children and grandchildren are guaranteed to become Christians. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that what you do, put that over. And what you don't do will affect the generations that are to come. Same for me, same for you. The relatives, at the very least, of Barzillai got to enjoy material, but more importantly, the spiritual blessings of God's covenant people, God's chosen nation, because of His faithfulness. His faithfulness. What you do matters. It matters. Verse 38, the king says, "That's fine, I'll take him with me. I'll do to him whatever you want, whatever you require, you name it, I'll make sure that Chimham is taken care of." And in verses 39 through 40, Barzillai and David part ways. In a very customary manner for showing love and respect, they kiss. That's a very common still in the Middle Eastern part of the world today. They kiss. Close verse 39. David blessed him, and Barzillai returns to his own place. But there's a sweet little phrase in verse 40. King went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with it. He went on with it. As we seek to make application, and as I approach the closing of this, I want something to stand off the page, and I want you to think about it, Christian. The king rewards faithfulness. The king rewards faithfulness. David never forgot. Lying on his deathbed, he remembered what Barzillai had done. David never forgot what Barzillai did for him. And if it is true that David doesn't forget, how much more the son of David won't forget? If David, as an earthly king, doesn't forget the loyalty and faithfulness of one of his service, how much more will our heavenly King reward and remember our faithfulness and loyalty to Him? There is a verse that I think it would benefit all of us to memorize. Hebrews 6, verse 10. This ties together with our message. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which He has showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen to this verse. God is not unrighteous to forget. The King rewards faithfulness. God is not unrighteous to forget your work, your labor, the things that you have done, the ministry efforts, the time spent, the money given, the classes you've taught. God is not unrighteous to forget your labors of love, brother and sister. If you're interested in Hebrews 16 that I just quoted, that word minister is exactly the same word where we get our word deacon from. In other words, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards His name, and that you have deaconed. Now what is a deacon? Serve. That you have served the saints and you continue to serve the saints. Listen to me. No one else on planet Earth may notice what you do. No one else may say thank you. No one else may give you an ounce of credit. But God is not unrighteous to forgive. The King rewards faithfulness. The preacher may not mention it. The people on the pew may not notice it. But God will. But God will. Christian, listen to me. King David wanted to reward this man because of his loyalty and faithfulness. King Jesus will reward you for your love, loyalty, and faithfulness. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. My encouragement to you, Christian, don't quit. Don't give up. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I've got some references. I'm not going to run all of them, but the Bible has a lot to say about our Lord rewarding us for our service and devotion to Him. Matthew 5:11-12, Matthew 6:19-21, Matthew 10:42, Matthew 25:40, Luke 6:35, Colossians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says we will all appear before the judgment seat. The Bible has a lot to say about the Christian receiving or losing rewards. Do you want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't back up. You might be like Barzillai. You can't do what you once could, but you can do what you can. I do not, and I readily confess that I don't really know what all I think about the crowns. The New Testament speaks of 5 crowns, I believe, in particular. I don't know what all I think about that. I don't know what all I believe about that. There's a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of glory. There's an incorruptible crown. I don't know what all I believe about that, but I believe this. If we receive a crown, we're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus because He's worth it. But I say this, I sure wouldn't mind having some to hurl at His feet, though. So just listen, if we do what we do for the wrong reasons, we're not going to be rewarded anyway. I mean, we learned that from the Bible. If our motivation is to be seen of men, to be honored of men, you got your reward. You're not going to have one in heaven. But if we do the right thing for the right reason, our Lord will reward us. Whether that's crowns, I don't know, whatever it is. Don't you want to honor Christ in your life? And perhaps even hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't know. I don't know what I think. Will there be? There are varying degrees of reward, just as there are varying degrees of punishment. It's amazing. If you just stop thinking, it is really amazing that God would not only save our wretched souls, give His Son to die in my place, in my stead, but then turn right around and reward me for our service to Him. God is amazing. It's amazing that He would do that. I don't deserve any of that, but still He's doing that for us. If you think back through Christian history, those saints who have been martyred for their faith, who suffered great persecution, torture, cruelty. Listen, the King rewards faithfulness. One of these days, they'll be rewarded. David, Moses, Esther, that woman with that alabaster box of ointment, Peter, Paul, they're going to receive a reward for what they've done. Those who have sacrificed, spent, given, worked, fought, suffered, will be rewarded. Christian, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep on keeping on. I'm going to read one verse and then I'm going to quit for a minute. David rewarded, you know, four bars of life. He didn't get to enjoy his reward, but we will. You will. Because in heaven, you won't get old, you won't wear out. Your rewards, you know what Jesus said, they won't get rusty. You don't have to worry about somebody breaking in and stealing them. They're not going to wear out. They're not going to fade away. They're eternal. Listen to this exhortation at the close of Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 12. Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." The King rewards faithfulness. David didn't forget. Our Lord won't forget. Christian brother, Christian sister, don't stop. Don't back up. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. It'll all be worth it. We'll understand it better by and by. We're going to see Him face to face. And the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. God bless you. I appreciate your attention to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Lord willing, next week we'll move on to the next chapter. All right?